Welcome to Wellbeing and You with the counselling team at Western Sydney University. I'm Erin.
And I'm Paula. We're passionate about supporting students to make the most of the university experience.
With this podcast, we're going to introduce you to a few members of our team and tell you about many of the great services and resources here to help you at university. Let's get started. Well, Paula, let's talk lockdown.
Okay, let's talk lockdown.
Have we already been in lockdown for 3 weeks? No, that's not possible.
No. No, I think it's been two weeks. No, it's been 3 weeks. You're right. Yes.
And I think that's a really good point, isn't it, that there is this distortion of time that tends to happen when each day starts to look the same. So let's talk a little bit about how we can cope during these lockdown periods and some of the things that we can do to help us keep well and to do the best that we can in these really strange kind of circumstances and situations. What do you think? That sound like an okay thing to talk about this afternoon?
That sounds like a great plan. Now that we know that we've been in lockdown for for 3 weeks, once we've got that out of the way.
Now that we can know that it's been 3 weeks and at this point in time, we don't really have a sense of how long this is going to go for. And I think that element of uncertainty of knowing that, of not knowing when this is going to finish can make it really hard to cope with these lockdown circumstances.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that, you know, as humans, we don't thrive with uncertainty. In fact, it makes our life a little bit more difficult to manage at times if we don't know, you know, what's ahead, if we don't know what to expect. So I definitely think it's fed into a sense of feeling more destabilized than normal. Yeah. That's a sense that I'm getting.
Yeah. And I think we can often fall into this trap of feeling like we have to put our best face forward, that we can't show that things are difficult, that we have to keep face and keep up appearances. But I think giving yourself permission to feel the way that you feel and to acknowledge that it's okay to not be feeling really great at the moment is perfectly okay.
Absolutely. And I think you hear this conversation a lot, Erin, from everybody. Everybody's experiencing some sort of struggle when it comes to lockdown. You know, so I think it's really important that we normalize that it's okay not to be okay and give ourselves permission to acknowledge that. And also then to couple that with the idea of doing what works for us, which is different for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And this pandemic affects everyone in different ways. I think it's pretty safe to say that everyone is affected in some way.
Yes, absolutely.
There are definitely differences, particularly for people who might be living on their own, for students and for staff of the university who might be parents and trying to balance the needs of studying or working along with homeschool. You know, there's a whole different range of ways that people can be impacted by lockdown. But I do think there are some commonalities in the things that people can do that can help them cope with what are some really challenging and really difficult circumstances.
Well, I think it's different for everybody, but sort of the general theme is that there's a level of awareness in terms of what is going to be helpful to do or what's been helpful in the past when we've perhaps felt destabilized or we felt a bit challenged in some way. And so I think that self-awareness is really important, that we kind of recognize that perhaps there's one or two things that I really need to do that really feed into my sense of well-being, and therefore even though I may not feel like doing it or I might not be able to do it anymore, how can I still continue to get that need fulfilled in different ways? I'm really understanding what's a function of what we do. Why is it that we kind of do all these things, such as exercise or eating well or going to bed at a particular time or engaging in some sort of self-care? I think awareness of what that does for you and then trying to continue to find ways to manage that is really important, particularly during lockdown, because we, you know, a lot of things we normally would do, we can no longer do because of the restrictions. So just self-awareness, I think, is a big thing for me.
And I agree, Paula. I think it's so important to know what your own strengths are and to have that self-awareness around the ways that you do cope that make a difference, that are helpful, and perhaps that self-awareness too of the things that don't help so well. I think and I often have this tendency too that if there's something that I anticipate is going to be really difficult, or you know, that I'm worried about how I'm going to get through it, I tend to avoid it. But sometimes the more I avoid something that's worrying me, the more the worries just kind of grow. But I think that's a really common way that people try to cope with difficult things.
And so I think an alternative to that is to, you know, make a commitment to trying to become more aware of perhaps what it is we're doing while we're doing it, and what is it about that particular situation that is uncomfortable or distressing for us. And that requires quite a lot of courage, Erin. So it's completely understandable why we avoid, because it's actually often the easier thing to do and the more comfortable thing to do if we avoid. But as you say, it often causes a bigger problem later. So perhaps tapping into your courage is something that might be helpful for people.
Yeah, absolutely. I think too, that's why the constant message that we get as a way of coping with being in lockdown, coping with the pandemic, is to stay connected. And I think that's really important, that reaching out to those social networks, staying connected with your supports, with your friends, with your family, can make a huge difference to your well-being, because the more you start to withdraw from people, the worse you feel. It can become a really vicious cycle.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think staying connected with others has two main functions. Obviously, it's really important, you know, for our well-being to feel connected to a group, you know, in terms of survival needs for as a species. We need that connection. It's actually really important. But also it takes the attention away from yourself. And so it's almost like a distress tolerance kind of skill, where if we feel really overwhelmed, focusing on somebody else for a period of time can be really helpful to distract from our own suffering and pain. And, you know, going back to the original question, what have you noticed maybe some of the students that I'm working with or other people are using? It's that idea that recognizing that we can continue to stay connected, and how important that is to name that connection that we share with others, but also how important it is for us to get that break from just focusing on ourselves and our own needs.
And you have to be active about it, isn't it? It has to be intentional, that I have an intention to stay connected.
And it's hard, Erin, isn't it? It's hard, because I often find myself replying to text messages and then just, you know, going to something else and forgetting to report, forgetting to send, or forgetting to write the rest of the message. And it's almost like there's a degree of energy that you need to fulfill some of these things, some of these tasks. And a lot of the time we might feel really fatigued because we've done that all day, perhaps working from home and trying to juggle everything else that we're doing on the side, which often, you know, becomes our main focus as well, such as home learning. So it's really difficult to find the time and energy to do this, but really important.
I think one of the other things, and I know this has been really important for me, is to make sure that I'm staying active and that I'm doing a little bit of exercise kind of each day. I've even been thinking about that, Paula, for our team, for our colleagues, of maybe getting together and setting like a steps challenge or something like that, like looking into a virtual walk or something, where we as a team we can, you know, work together to, I don't know, walk all the way to Townsville virtually or something like that.
I love that, Erin. That's a great idea. And it also serves the purpose of connecting, you know, feeling connected to something bigger. There are lots of challenges out there, and a lot of them are done for charity, you know, to raise money for charity. But also, you know, we could absolutely set something like that up for the team.
How have you been staying active?
Well, like you, I try to find time in my day to do something, whether it's 10 minutes worth of, you know, yoga, although I really would like it to be longer than 10 minutes, going for a walk, you know, doing some stretches. Mindfulness is a big thing for me. So just finding some space to be mindful. Just providing myself with the opportunity and trying as hard to use that time to do something for my well-being. That's difficult. I mean, the other day, you know, it was almost 5 o'clock and it was getting dark, and that was the only time I had to go for a walk. And I thought, well, if I don't do it now, well, you know, that's it. The day will probably not offer me another opportunity. So I went out and did a 15-minute walk, which was not exactly what I wanted. I wanted more, but it was sufficient to help me feel like I'd at least achieved something today.
Yeah, look, I'm trying to walk as much as I can, and making use of that forced activity and that forced exercise too. In that yesterday I had my car booked in for a service, and it meant that physically I had to walk, you know, walk home from the dealership after I dropped the car off to be serviced. I had to walk back there to go pick it up, kind of at the end of the day, because of course with COVID the courtesy car kind of isn't working. So I'm making use of all of those opportunities for incidental exercise, trying to walk to the shops where I can as well. Even if you know, don't live close to your shopping centre, sometimes making that conscious effort to park as far away from the shops as you can, or to park a little bit of a distance away so that you're forced to kind of to walk a little bit can help. I agree. Lots of those online platforms have been really good. I've signed up for one of those. Haven't done it as much as I would like, but I'm setting an intention now, Paula, that this weekend I'm going to do probably some yoga. There's lots of free resources available on Zoom as well.
Yes. Yeah. So many
available on Zoom, available on YouTube.
YouTube. I was going to say Zoom. That's new to me. Okay, I didn't see the full potential of Zoom. but yeah, I agree with you. I think if you have a small window of time, you know, if you type in whatever type of exercise you'd like to do, whether it be a HIIT workout or a yoga session, within those parameters of what you have and what you have available to you, I think you will find something that fits for you and you can do it. And often a lot of these exercises don't require any sort of equipment except for a soft flooring or, you know, just your willingness really to give it a go. And as we know with motivation, sometimes we're really low on motivation, but the one thing that really helps us move into a space where we might feel more motivated is just to do it, just to do the action part. And that then feeds into the urge and the action part the next time. So I think absolutely providing yourself with an opportunity and just going ahead and sometimes doing the opposite to how you feel can actually get you moving more and feeling more motivated to do it again next time.
Tell me a bit more about that, Paula. What does that mean, doing the opposite to how you feel?
So there's a great skill which is called opposite to emotion action, which is actually a DBT skill, and it talks about the idea that it's about emotion regulation, essentially, where we either have to honor how we feel and do what we feel, do the actions based on how we feel. But sometimes it's not effective to do that, because often how we feel doesn't necessarily allow us to do what we need to do with our day or get on with our day. And at that point, one of the skills you can use is to do the opposite action of how you feel. So the action part is what's most important in this skill. Doing the action part of the opposite emotion will then bring on the opposite emotion.
Do you have an example of that?
Okay, if I'm feeling really distracted and I'm trying to do my work and it's not working, so I'm feeling perhaps, you know, really distracted, that might be the feeling that I have. The opposite feeling to that might be feeling more focused, and the action that accompanies that might be to change my workspace, perhaps tidy up around me. It might be having more regular breaks. So then what I'll do is actually commit to the actions of that, and that will then feed into me feeling more focused. That'll bring on that emotion. Another really basic example, probably more basic than that, is you might recall when you've been doing something, perhaps you've had music playing and a song has brought on a particular emotion for you. Yeah, so you might actually, and I've done this before, I might be doing the dishes and all of a sudden I hear a song and I go, oh, I love this song, and I might start dancing. And all of a sudden, you know, I'm really enjoying doing the dishes. because I don't enjoy doing the dishes, because that action, which is listening to that music and that behavior, which I might have just kind of associated with it, has actually allowed me to feel something different from what I felt previously.
That's really interesting, Paula. Yeah, I've been thinking about how important it is each day to make some space for something that is fun, something that's pleasurable, something that is enjoyable, because it's just so easy to get stuck doom scrolling or watching too much news or getting, you know, totally caught up. In some ways I feel like I need to watch the 11 a.m. press conference kind of every morning just to know, you know, what's going on. But I don't know that that's always the most helpful thing.
Okay. Yeah. So in that case, you could try doing the opposite to that, the opposite action to that, if you feel like it's not going to be effective. And this is a really good way to practice it in terms of you coming up with an alternative thing to do during that 11 a.m. conference time that might actually leave you feeling something different at the end, as opposed to how you might feel after the 11 a.m. conference.
That's fantastic. I'm really going to think about how I can implement that, that perhaps instead of noticing when it gets to 11 a.m. and really jonesing to flip over to ABC, you know, news, that at 11 a.m., yeah, I'm really going to think about that, kind of a ritual or something fun, something enjoyable I can do at 11, rather than kind of dwelling on what today's COVID numbers kind of might look like. Because I agree, there's absolutely no difference between hearing that news at 11 a.m. Or, you know, putting it off until the end of the day and, you know, making like quarantining a little bit of space to catch up on the news. I think there's this balance between being informed and knowing what's going on, knowing what the health orders are and what my responsibilities as a, you know, as a contributing citizen to the to society, and my contribution to helping this lockdown end as soon as possible. There's a balance between being over-informed and completely anxious about everything.
That's right. Finding a balance is so important, isn't it?
So I think throughout this whole lockdown experience, it is so important to be your own cheer person. We've talked about staying connected with your social networks, the importance of physical activity, knowing what your strengths are, making room, making space every day for something that you enjoy, something that's pleasurable, reducing too much exposure to the news, kind of going on a little bit of a news diet and only accessing information when you really need to. You know, but sometimes even though you're doing all of those things, you might feel like you need just a little bit of extra support, because this really is an incredibly difficult time, and there's absolutely no you know, shame in acknowledging that and for reaching out for support. You know, I think there are some really fantastic resources out there and some great places that you can access support. I think the This Way Up is a really amazing website, and a lot of it's run through the anxiety clinic from St. Vincent's Hospital, and they have a massive range of online courses that are available. There's a specific student wellbeing course that I refer students to all the time because I think that's really valuable. And they've also got a great suite of resources and some information that's specific for COVID. Have you seen any other, where are you pointing students and staff members towards, Paula?
To our website. I think our website's really great. It has lots and lots of resources on there. There's a great resource which is available through the Black Dog Institute webpage, and it's a really great resource because it is specific to lockdown and mental health resources that you might need during lockdown, but also it allows you to personalise it a little bit in terms of how do you then make sense of that information for your own self-care needs. And it actually helps you plan and set some goals around some of the positive strategies that you might already use or that you might be willing to use, and some of the some of the other behaviours that we might see coming through when we're not doing so well. So I think it's a really great resource, and I've been directing a lot of students and staff to that as well.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. I'll have to go and have a look at that too. I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the research is something like, you know, if you actually write down your goals, if you externalize them, that you're like 25% more likely to actually reach those goals or something like that. So, yeah, I can see how that would be.
Absolutely.
I can see how that would be a really, really valuable resource for people to get online and have a look at. And I would also say for students of the university, if you need to organise an appointment, you know, the counsellors, while we're not able to see people face to face, we do have Zoom appointments and telephone appointments available. So we are here to talk with and we are here to support you if you're having a tough time during this lockdown.
Absolutely. And I think also part of that is recognising that we're not designed to survive on our own. We do need to feel supported and loved and valued and included. And so it's really important that if you are feeling isolated, you are feeling alone, that reaching out to some of these resources can be really helpful.
I would encourage staff as well to reach out and access our employee assistance program. There's lots of support available through that program. And I'm working on a few more resources, Paula, and so I'm hopeful that we'll have some more COVID-specific resources up on our website soon.
Wonderful. Thank you, Erin. It's been lovely recording another podcast with you. It's been a while since we've been able to do this. So I'm really grateful that we could do that today.
It has been. I'm glad that we've had this chance to do it today too. Let's not leave the next one so long.
Yeah, agreed.
And it's good just to be able to connect to and have a chat about COVID and about lockdown. Yeah. I think, you know, we're connecting. We're doing what we're encouraging everyone else to get on to. Thanks, Paula.
You're welcome. Thank you, Erin.